The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. The word of God for the people of God. Glory be to God.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us, by way of background of the text, that this is Trinity Sunday, but they don't believe Paul was putting forth a Trinitarian doctrine. It was more tridactic, as they say. He's talking about the personality of God in three different and distinct manners. The doctrine of the Trinity wouldn't be fully fleshed out for several centuries. It's thought that Paul certainly releases the first kernel of this idea here, because he's quite comfortable talking about the three personalities of God. But mostly he is quite interested in focusing on the Spirit and juxtaposing the spiritual life as against a life in the flesh. Paul is big on this. He talks about the notion and nature here and in Corinthians and especially in Galatians, how living too much in the flesh leads to a kind of spiritual death. He would say literal death, because there is no life for him outside of a life in the Spirit. Because he had lived in his head for so long, living in the Spirit is an essential element to life itself. So why did I choose such a weird title of third-rate theology cells? I chose that because as I read this, people use this kind of passage to beat people up, to make people feel guilty, to tell them they're going to hell in a handbasket and soon. And I don't think that's what Paul meant. I think Paul is saying, live fully to the Spirit, because that's what brings life, vitality, and hope. I'm going to pick on somebody, and I try not to do this too often, but I don't know whether you follow odd bits in the news and the newspaper. This was from Associated Press in both the Daily News and LA Times, and there's also an internet article about a pastor in the southeast quadrant of this country who did snake handling. Holiness churches do this. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm not part of that tradition. I don't like snakes. I leave them alone, and I pray they leave me alone. But I understand that this is part of what some people do. What was unique about it is, in handling the snakes, he was bitten and unfortunately perished. What was doubly so, about 32 years ago, the same thing happened to his father. I just thought maybe he would have learned something by that, but maybe not. It's not to disparage people who worship in a certain way, but we know there's an inherent danger in this natural world. And snakes, when they are frightened, are likely to strike, to bite us. And unfortunately, that's what happened. Do I think that's third-rate theology? I'd have to confess, at some level. I think we've evolved. So to carry this forward and to put faces that some of us or most of us might know, I receive questions of faith. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're sublime, and sometimes they cause me to think. I received an email this past week that fit this title. It was specifically, I'll tell you what it said. I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty darn close to what it said. This really isn't a question, it's more of a statement, and indeed it is. When I see the way Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry talk about how faith needs to inform politics, it makes me want to be an atheist. I see some of you are laughing. It causes some strange feelings, and it's because wherever you are, somebody to your left or right, and I'm not speaking politically, I mean literally, logistically, agrees with the likes of Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann. What I want to say is, I don't give a rip who or what they stand for, because I come at this in my own manner. And I'll be dogged if I'm going to allow somebody, A, I neither know nor respect, to change my theology. That's what I want to say. Why would we allow somebody we don't know or respect to change our theology? There are people out there, and the notion is that fear-based thinking, be it political or theological, is sold on the half shell, if you will. Fear sells because, I'll talk at it from the political view, fear sells in politics because politicians want us to be afraid. Want us to be afraid of a bad economy, an overweening executive branch or justice branch or whatever it is. And then they need us to think that they have the solution. That's how fear sells. And here's how it sells in religion. If you don't do this, God won't love you. And God is going to come like an ancient dog trainer with a rolled up newspaper and smack you on the snoot because you're a bad person, a bad, bad person. Anybody who thinks like that hasn't read the Bible. That's antithetical, completely opposed to what Jesus said. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That meant it's here and now. So we ought to be acting as if we are saved, as if God is with us in real time, loving us and caring for us. Bishop Reuben Jobe, recently retired, great leader in the United Methodist tradition, in a recent publication quoting the late Trappist monk Thomas Merton, said, "We become the God of our adoration. No person is an island. When we act and follow the teachings of Jesus, we become the agents of change in this world." What does that have to do with you? So here's the question. Are you fear-based or hope-based? Are you judgment-based or grace-based? Are you mercy-based or judgment-based? Do you want to punish someone? Or do you want to free somebody to live for God? Judgment is easy. All it takes is a half-baked thought and a mean spirit and fingers to point. You're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. You have bad thinking. So God doesn't love you. Bad stuff. The choice we have each and every day is to look at the goodness that abounds. And if you didn't see goodness, you slept through this service. Did you see that baby that we baptized? Oh my goodness. Did you see that choir that we've dreamed of? Thank you, Lynn. Did you see that? That's hope. Hope abounds. Hope is there. You can touch it. You can see it. There's no need to be afraid. We've got first-rate theology if we follow Jesus. When we inject narrow-minded, ill-thought, mean-spirited stuff into it, we've stopped to follow the King, stopped following the King. Now we come to communion. We celebrate an open table, you'll hear me say that. It's not I, it's not this congregation, it's Christ alone that invites us to partake of this meal. The meal isn't holy, it's grape juice, Welch's grape juice, and some wheat bread. And if you're gluten-free, we've got that. That's not what makes it holy. It's the relationships that make it holy. That's what this is about. Go first rate or go home. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.